Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Once again, thanking Him for life, health, and strength, mercy and grace, for love and kindness. Thanking Him for another blessed day. Do thank Him for allowing me to be here tonight. I've been having trouble out of my computer. Haven't got my iPads yet. Have to put my computer in the shop. But to God be the glory. He blessed me to get on tonight. The wife and I had just got in this evening from off of a vacation of her birthday, the 28th of last month. Our wedding anniversary, the 2nd of this month. 15 blessed years, thanking Him for mercy and grace, and body a little tired and everything as we go forth, but to God be the glory, I was able to be here to be on the program tonight, thanking the Lord for all of His goodness, all of His love and kindness, while we was over the dangerous highways and enjoyed each other throughout the holidays. Thanking Him for giving us togetherness as husband and wife. Thanking Him for family around us that loved us so much that, you know, they called, they checked on us, they thought about us. You know, family means the world. When families close, you have so many families tore apart. But before we get into that, let's do our prayer request. Let's go ahead and give God the honor and praise, thanking Him for everything that He's already done, thanking Him for everything that He's going to do and continue to do, thanking Him in advance for everything that He is allowing in our lives to happen and the doors He's opening for us that need to be open, and closing the ones that need to be closed. We're going to continue to pray for our spiritual leaders, church leaders, overseers of the churches, the ministries. Continue to pray for our Bishop, R.C. Bryant. He's been struggling back and forth with different things in his body since he's had that COVID way back yonder. And he's still struggling and going through some things with it. His companion, Sister Dorothy Bryant. We want to continue to remember Bishop Armstrong in his journey and things that he has to continue to go through, and things he is continuing to go through and do throughout this journey. I know it wears him down sometimes because we have so much on his plate, but we are praying for you, Bishop Armstrong and family. We're going to continue to pray for Bishop Gray and his family and loved ones. All of the ones that's in rest homes and places in the homes that has caregivers coming in, taking care of them, that are being treated in the right way. And even the ones that's not being treated so well, we ask that you put someone in their place, Lord, to take care of them through their trials and tests. All of our children, while they're out of school, keep them safe over the dangerous highways, the things that they be doing. All of the ones on vacation now through the 4th of July, the fireworks, the shootings, and everything, keep everybody safe. The sick and the needy, the incarcerated, police forces, fire departments, all of the ones that lost their homes throughout all of the land, that they have lost homes through tornadoes, earthquakes, and so on. We pray for them that have lost loved ones We pray still yet for the COVID patients and other things that may be going on, the cancer patients, the other diseases, because we're praying that God will intervene and bless some people, open some eyes to see that miracles is still working and alive today in people's life. Bless people to be saved throughout the Word of God by listening to this program, that they open up their hearts to the Lord and receive Him into their life and want to live a Christian life to be used by the Almighty Father, the Creator of life. We ask that you pray for all of us that's on the program, speaking the encouraging words and doing the things that God has given us to do, that we continue to do God's will, what's right in the eyes of the Lord, to share and continue to trust Him through everything that we have to suffer and go through, along with living this Christian life. We thank God for all of our veterans. We're praying for them, the men and women that has fought in the future and still fighting for our freedom that we have now, like so many that don't have freedom to even read God's word or be living as a Christian because of having their lives taken from them. We thank our men and women service providers for their service all over the land in the name of Jesus, because the Lord is taking care of send them through. Oh, precious Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you as humble as we know how, thanking you for your love and mercy and grace, thanking you for your love and kindness, thanking you, Lord, because there's nothing good that we've done or we could do to deserve the mercy and grace that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, because you have looked after and looked over us. Thank you for keeping us safe today over the dangerous highways and byways, bringing us home safely. We thank you with a loving surrounding family. We just ask you, Lord, to continue to bless them, to open their eyes to see something in us like Christ that may strike something in them to want to live right, want to serve the Lord. But Lord, we know you have all answers, comes from you, because you are the main source of all of our living, our life. Whatever we do, we can call on you, Lord, to help us, guide us, and see us through. We know you are able, Lord, through all that we may do and ask for. We have unspoken prayer requests, dear God, that you already know about. We ask that you go in and touch them, Lord, and bless them, Lord, and open up their understanding, dear God, to understand in the name of Jesus that it's all about you, your Son, Jesus Christ, being led by your precious Holy Spirit to do your will in the name of Jesus. Bless the sick and the shut in, the needy. Continue to bless all of the rest home patients with good surroundings, dear God. There's so much bad that goes in and out of these places, dear God. People don't work no more for the thought of caring about someone. It's all about making a paycheck and being done with your work and leaving. But Lord, draw them to get close to people, to be an encouraging word to people, that people may look up to someone, dear God, when they don't have family there, to come to see about them, to talk to them, to show love to them, dear God. they're going through so much. We ask, Lord, that you draw each and every family closer to let them see, dear God, that once mother and father's gone, dear Lord, all you have is a memory, dear God. And sometimes it don't feel so good when you're sitting back thinking about those memories, dear Lord, because we miss them. But Lord, help us, dear Lord, each and every one that has a mother or a father, to show the respect that's needed, the love that's needed, come together and spending the time with them, Lord, as family, like it used to be. Because, Lord, without family, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we feel all alone, even though we have you, dear God, on our side, and your Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit living within us, that still get lonely without family sometimes, Lord, when you come to think about it, dear God. So comfort us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to understand everything is in your hands. You're the source for everything we need. Comfort us, Lord, in the way we need to be comforted. Bless each and every request that's already been made, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we will continue, Lord, to look up to you and continue to meditate on your word, your love, and your promises, that we will do your will the best that we can, dear God, and be honest about everything that we share over these programs to encourage and to be encouraged, to show love for one another and continue to pray for one another. Dear Lord, we thank you and we honor you tonight. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Glory be to God. We do give honor once again to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, upon this day of the 4th of July for what he has allowed in our lives and allowed us to be a part of. Without him blessing us, we wouldn't be here today. But Lord, I thank you for your mercy and grace, safe travel, and looking over my companion and myself and all of our families well when we got back in town. I want to read this scripture. It is 1 John chapter 4, verse 21. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. He who loveth God love his brother also. That means, well, brothers and sisters, we love them all. And then this is my daily scripture that I'm reading, that I try to have something through the day to kind of help me early in the mornings when I get up and go to work or whatever I'm having to do that morning. Inspiration part says, the life we live as Christians is not just about focusing on what we have received. It is also about what we give. We are not to selfishly set on this free gift we have received and only be concerned about our self interests. We are commanded to exercise the love we have received by being loving toward others as well. God expects us to reenact the love he expressed toward us to the people we come across in our daily lives, letting us know. And we're talking about family, but we're talking
around family too. This is what the Lord expects us as Christian people to do. He has blessed us in life with his love through and by his son, Jesus Christ. We have someone pleading our case. The Holy Spirit is there for our remembrance to help us to understand and remember things and to lead us in the right way. The Spirit of God has been given to us in order to help us to know how to live, to know the wrong and the right things to do. And with this, we are to continue to pray for that discernment of spirit to help us along this journey, that we may be able to help someone else that's in a struggle. You know, we have a lot of people, young people, and they get outside into the world running, and they get involved with some people. They're easily influenced. They begin to follow those people. But they need some young person that's wanting to move away from those things to speak up and step up, because they're scared to make the move away from it, from the people they're hanging with, that's going to complain about them being no good or being scared to do or whatever the situation may be. But they're waiting for somebody to step up, that they may be led in a different way, a better way, a more respectful way. But they're following the ones that they're following because they was influenced by, and they're scared to pull away because of what may be said to them or how someone may react towards their thinking or whatever. We have to realize the Lord has given us our own free will. Young people, old people, but it's up to the older people to encourage the younger people, our families, our loved ones, inside the home, outside the home, the neighbors. And when the neighbors' children come in contact with our children, and our children have been taught in a different way, and they begin to play and laugh and have fun, you know that that's a teaching to those other children, because they see the difference in the attitude or the reactions that our children are bringing with them when they come in contact with them. That's the reason why we're supposed to bring up a child in the way that it should go. The Bible speaks of it. And if we do these things, no matter what happens in an older life for the child, but when they're younger and they're growing up, they carry that with them at a young age. And people's looking at their lives and the way that they act compared to different ones, and there's a whole lot of them that like the way that they act compared to some of the other children, and they want to draw close to them. They want to be around them. They want to be friends with them. And before long, they become good friends, and it changes their attitudes, their ways of thinking, their ways of wanting to live, their ways of the people that they want to be around. And if you get enough of them want to act in a different lifestyle for the better, that comes in contact with other people, it can make some changes in the world. But a lot of kids is not going to come in to that reaction and feel as if, you know, they want to be that type of person. but there is quite a few. Because if you share the influence with other children, the way that you share with yours as parents, it will take effect. And they are paying attention no matter how we feel or how we think about it. They're looking and they're paying attention to these things. So we have to realize that we have children that's smarter than we think, because they are looking at everyday life, seeing what's going on within sometimes the parents and everyone else is going through. And if you've got a different reaction, they're looking. They might not know how to say or what to say, but they know there's a difference because of the attitude. When we come in contact with our family and loved ones, we should have the attitude of love, the attitude of showing happiness somewhere along in our lives, a word of encouragement to let them know that we love them, happy to see them, and thankful that they're doing good. We don't know how much influence that may bring on our family and our loved ones, our children, our cousins, grandkids, great-grandkids, our surroundings around other families, kids. And you know, that's the main thing about this whole situation. Other families' kids are looking at things in your life sometimes more than they're looking at the things in their parents' life, because they see something different compared to what you're doing or the life you're living. And if they like you, they pay attention enough to see what's going on, to whereas it could bring about a reaction of change on them. We don't know what kind of influence we have on children. But depending on your lifestyle, your way of living, your way of showing respect for people, that's just like young men. When I see them, I talk to them and I life and I go on and I try to encourage them, give them a few good words to say. Like, you know, I tell my grandsons, which is, you know, a thing when they come here at the house, boys, when you go to the bathroom, you know, you get a little wet around the rim popping up from the commode or whatever, or the boys, you know, when you use the bathroom, I said, get a piece of toilet paper, wipe the rim off. Make sure you put the seat back down, because you have women living in the house, and they don't want to touch the rim of the seat or anything to have to put it down where a man's then used the bathroom on it or whatever. So when they come, I instill that in them, and they start to remember. The littlest one, he's, I believe, 6 years old now, and he told me when he came up the last time, he lived in Greenville, North Carolina. He said, Popo? I said, yeah, buddy. He said, I didn't forget what you said. I said, what's that? He said, when I used the bathroom. I said, didn't he? He said, no. But he told on his brother. Told him his brother did, and his brother looked at him like funny. And I told him, I said, well, you keep doing it, man. You keep on doing that, because you have a woman in the house. Your mama's in there, and she don't want to touch that thing with it like that. And your brother, I said, he'll catch on. And, you know, that made me feel good, because he had picked it up to understand the little things that people don't think that matters of respect. We teach them kids things, and they begin to take hold to it. That's like when they was here, the granddaughters, one's 10, the other one's 8, she'll be 9 Friday. And we was here at the house, and I was praying with them at night, you know, getting down, saying our prayers. And one night it was a getting a little bit late. I hadn't forgot, but I just hadn't got to it, and they was getting ready to go to bed. And she come up there, and she said, "Paul, Paul." I said, "Yeah, baby." She said, "Did you forget?" I said, "No." I said, "You ready?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, I'm coming now." And I had to get up and go ahead, but they know that that's something that we do at night, and they took a hold of it when they was over here. Because once they leave from our house, the wife and myself, that's something that's not really said or thought about as much. So the more that we influence them, and the more that they can learn the Lord's Prayer, because the granddaughter, she learned the Lord's Prayer in the time she was here, and everything at 8 years old, because we did it so much. They can take it somewhere else if they remember it and decide to say it and teach others. We don't know who they're going to come in contact with, and we don't know what's going to happen within their little lives, but we know we have to. We are the ones that come around them because of their parents as not being within the church or Christians or whatever. So as my wife and I, we are the ones when they come in contact with us that have to take control and do that job here and pray with them and pray for them and their families. We always pray and mention their parents in the process that they'll know when they get down to pray. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your parents. And pray for the people that you love around you. And as long as we do that, as great-grandparents, the way we did our grandkids too, children will pick up on things, and they will begin to do these things, and other people see them, other children see them, and they wonder, well, why is they doing these things? You know, what's going on with these situations in life for them? But it's only teaching them what the Lord has given us within to teach our children. 1 John chapter 2 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Number 2 says, "And he is the propitiation for our sins." They took our place. "And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." He took our place for that sin, that we may have an opportunity at salvation. It wasn't because of anything that we was able to do or work for or do anything. He took it upon himself to do this, that we would have an opportunity at salvation. Number 3 says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." Number 4 says, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And I work with a lot of people that tell me, they say they're living for the Lord, and I'm not judging anyone. It's just what I see and what I hear around me that lets me know, if you're saying words you shouldn't say and you're doing things you shouldn't do, and you're telling me you're a child of God and I know better, then you know this is what this scripture's saying. "He that said, I know him." which you don't, because you're not living by the commandments of the Lord. And you're not living by the truth. You're making your own way and making up your own scriptures to suit you in the way you would like for it to suit you. Now, how can we live a life in front of our children saying we're a child of God when the children are seeing somebody else that's different that lives a Christian life, and they know that the parent is telling them one thing, but somebody else is living and they're seeing another thing? Something's wrong somewhere. Number 5 says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So praise the Lord. We know that if we're living that life that we're supposed to before the Lord, and we continue to walk right before him, you know, that's the way that we are supposed to live this life before our children, our families, our loved ones, that they may see something in us that Christ has given us to live out throughout his will, his way, and we've been obedient. Not that we are perfect by no means, but we're living the best that we know how by the word of God, knowing what the word says and knowing the way that we have to stand out in front of the crowd. That's like the wife and I when we was on vacation these days. We didn't go out there and not be the Christian people that we are. We had to still live the life that we always live, whether we here or somewhere else outside of the home or whatever. We have to live a respectful Christian life before people and then before the Lord. Because if we don't, we're no better than the hypocrite, what they may say or do, or the life that they may claim that they live. John, 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. So, when the worldly people say they know the Lord, but they're not living the life that the Lord has given them through his great and perfect salvation, they're living a lie. And the truth is not in them. It's sad to be living a life saying that you're a Christian, and when something happens or when you die, and we wake up after the rapture and the Lord blesses us through all of this, and we step up to the plate and he says he never knew you, and you live the life thinking that you was living the way that you was living because you thought it was right, you thought you could get by saying and doing anything in and around people, saying things you know that's wrong. Number 2 of 1 James chapter 3 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Number 3 And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself. Clean yourself up to the fullest and live it, even as he is pure. Number four, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And number five says, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Little children, seven, let no man deceive you, that he doth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Number eight, he that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Number nine, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. So we know that when we live this Christian life, we have to pray. We have to have a repentant spirit of omission and commission, the things that we know we should have did or could have did and we didn't do, or whatever the situation may be, because we go through daily and should repent daily, because we know not what we may say or do throughout the day. God has given us a special type of work to do as his people. And it's a special type of work it is. And if you have it in your heart and you love the Lord and you truly just want to serve the Lord and do his will, you will do your best when you come in contact with your family. Don't beat them down through the bad that they're doing, the bad they're going through already, the things that they do that's not right. But talk to them, encourage them for the better. We're not here to beat up our family and put them down. We're not here to hurt them in a way and let them know, well, you ain't going to never be nothing. You're not going to make it. Everybody needs encouragement, no matter how bad the situation looks. My job is not to put them down as Christians. My niece has told me, said the reason why so many of their young friends don't want to come to church, because people talk about their tattoos, their earrings, they're worried about looking at them on the outside rather than seeing what can go on within the inside. Because when you come before the Lord, he's not looking at the outside of things. He's looking at the inside to see where your heart is. Your heart is the most important thing to the Lord. Because if you get it right, everything else will begin to fall into place. But you got to get that heart right first. Like the bishop said, your soul is too important to him to just tell you and you believe him. Open up God's word. Read a little bit of it. Take a little bit of it in. Give him a chance first. Anybody out there listening that may be thinking about suicidal thoughts, well, nobody loves me for who I am, nobody cares about me,
Everybody's always telling me I'm no good for nothing. I'm not going to make it in no kind of way. Don't believe that. Think on the positive side of all of that that they throw at you. Because you're somebody in life. Even the worst of the worst is somebody in life. Sometimes people just need a little encouragement, a little nudge, a little push to let them know that they are somebody. Jesus loves you. He loves you, and he's there for you. All you have to do is repent and call on him. He will change some things in your life like you never knew. And you asked him to lead your life, to help you to understand. You come around in contact with people that's going to encourage you rather than hurt you. Get away from those negative thinking people. Life is more than just having fun out into the world. I used to say when I was out there, I'd go to church and they'd ask me, do you want to be saved? The deacons would and everything. And I'd tell them, I said, yeah. They said, well, what you waiting for? I said, well, I'm not ready right now. They said, well, if you're not ready now, you'll never be ready. And, you know, I thought it was my choice. When I was ready or not, then I would pick and choose when I was ready or not, you know. Wasn't thinking. I was ignorant to the fact of the Word of God, not knowing. I'd been talked about to the Lord, about the Lord and things like that. But things been explained to me in a way that I would truly understand to let me know that I wasn't the one choosing. The Lord chose me. He chose me. He said, I chose you. And let me know that I didn't choose him. So when he chose me and I accepted, it's a different thing than me making a decision on when I wanted to be saved. I couldn't pick and choose the time that I thought was right for me. Once the Spirit starts to deal with you and the Lord comes on your mind and heart, he's giving you an opportunity. When you come in contact with people that shares the word of the Lord to you and with you, he's giving you an opportunity. I used to say when somebody got killed or anything and it was just one of those sudden deaths, I was like, man, they didn't have a chance. But to my misunderstanding and not knowing the truth, they had a chance just like everyone else. They just didn't take the chance when it was available. So we have to realize there's two places that our soul is going to rest. And we're not going to miss both of them, heaven or hell. And hell is for real. It is for real. After death is not the end. There's going to be a judgment. And if you're not received to the heavenly realm, you're going to spend eternal damnation in the fiery pit. So while the blood is running warm in everyone's veins, and we have an opportunity, why not open your hearts up and ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I know you died on the cross, shed your blood for my sin, was buried and resurrected, that I may have an opportunity of such a great salvation to live throughout eternity, have eternal life. You have a chance tonight. Some people lay down, might not wake up in the morning. But we don't know. We don't know when our time
our number's going to be called. But it says it's once appointed to man to die, and after that the judgment. We do know that that's true fact by the word of God and through the word of God. Once we can either live throughout or die eternally throughout. We have a decision to make. We have a life to live, whether it be of the devil or whether it be of Christ Jesus. All families, if you have a loved one surrounding you, brother, sister, father, mother, cousin, anyone within relationship to you, whether they're adopted or whether they're immediate family, whether they're best friends or surrounding loved ones, it don't matter. We all have an opportunity through God's grace and mercy. We have an opportunity tonight. So it's always an open invitation for salvation. But it's up to you to receive the salvation of the Lord. No one can make you receive it. No one can tell you how to receive it. It'll be up to you. It's right here. Let's see. I'm going to go to James chapter 3. And it says, James 3:1 says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. It's letting us know we can't have people over us that we think, you know, is we have a master here, a master there. We're serving Satan and we're serving God. We're thinking that we can, you know, straddle the fence a little bit here and there. We have to live one way or the other. Number two says, for in many things we offend all. Let me read two again. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in words, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. 3 says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole bodies. Then it says, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of various winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Then it says, number 6 says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth off fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of bird and of serpent and thing and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue cannot, wait a minute, 8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is and unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. We are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brother, my brethren, these things ought not to be. So we find out, it's letting us know the things we say, the things we do, and the situations we in. You know, every manner of beasts and things can be tamed, but the tongue, the Holy Spirit, is the onlyest thing that can tame. He, the Holy Spirit, we need. And I'm still seeking God's Holy Spirit in my life, but I'm still doing and living the best that I know how, because I know the truth. I know how I'm supposed to live. I may not be perfect in the things that I do and the way that I do it, but I have to have that repentant heart, that heart to ask the Lord to forgive me of the bad things that may come about and just continue to live by His will and His word. I have to understand that living this Christian life is a every second, every moment, every day thing. I can't live it today and quit tomorrow. I can't live it tomorrow and quit the day after. I can't live it part of the time and then part of the time be who I feel I want to be outside living the worldly things. This is a 24/7 Christian walk that we have to live, and thank the Lord and ask for help every moment of the day. You're not going to do everything right, but we have an advocate, the Word of God says, to see us and help us through, pleading our case, helping us, praying when we don't know what to pray for. So I thank God for the journey He has given me thus far. I have failed in many ways. I'm not looking to tell anybody nothing that's not true. I'm just being honest about life, because we go through daily. We go through things sometimes that overwhelms us, that takes us for a loop in life. I'm not saying that I just get out there and just do things in the wrong way, but we go through situations in life that we have to ask the Lord to help us. We have to repent of the thoughts that may come about in our lives about stuff, because people can make you react in a way as a Christian and make you start to think about the old man rising up in you that used to be in your life. And if you're not careful, people can just about make them rise up out of you. And you have to ask the Lord to help you. And I know He will, and I know He can, because He's done it many a time for me. And you don't get over these things so quickly sometimes. It takes time for us to go through these situations. It takes time for us to continue to get in the Word of God and read. But I have learned, for every situation, everything that comes about, you can get into this Word of God and it can give you an answer and a solution for it. And you just have to be ready to accept it and thank the Lord for helping you, giving you what you needed at the time that it was needed. We have to hold on. We have to hold on. We can't give up. We are not on the road of giving up. We're on the road of increasing our faith, our love for everyone, our prayers for everyone, thanking God for grace and mercy for allowing us to be able to go through these tests and trials that come our way. So for anybody out there that may be listening in tonight, I hope there was a word of encouragement somewhere along the way that may have come to you, or a scripture that may make you think about and help you through. Because we love you, we're praying for you. That's why we come on these programs, to share and encourage, and asking the Lord to reach out and touch somebody all around the world. We don't know how far we're going to reach to people, but we're not giving up. We're not letting down. We're not letting go. One thing I found out, when we give you the true word out of this word of God, we're not putting on for no show, form, or fashion. We're sharing because we love you. We want to go to heaven, and we want to see you go to heaven too. God has given us the opportunity to share something important and special with you. And that's what we try to do, with love, concern, and prayer. Because we're going to continue to pray with you and pray for you, no matter how it looks. God can take care of the situations and the problems at hand. So keep your heads up. Keep loving one another. Keep drawing close to God and your families. Treat everyone the way you would want to be treated, in a respectful and honest fashion. And we can make it. We can do this. Open up your heart. Accept the Lord into your heart. Ask Him to teach you how to live, how to carry yourself. And He'll do it. Our precious Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus we come before you right now, thanking you, Lord, for what you've already given, what you're already doing, and what you continue to do in our lives. Thanking you, Lord, for just blessing us to do the program tonight, dear God, to share something with someone, dear God. Hope that there's a heart out there, dear Lord, that opened up and received you into their life, dear God. Because, Lord, we're doing your glory. It's work. We're honoring you tonight, dear God. It's nothing good that we've done, Lord, but you have shared something with us to be able to share with someone else. We ask that you continue to bless, Lord, throughout each and every program that may come on, dear God, that someone may hear something from someone that may touch somebody's heart, somebody's loved one. Help them to teach their children in the right way, dear God. Help them to bless them in a special way, dear Lord. We ask that you continue to bless all of our leaders, dear Lord, as we continue to do your will. All glory and honor belongs to you, Lord. And if we've done anything, Lord, wrong, forgive us tonight, dear God, of our sin. Continue to help us, Lord, to have a repentance, to get it right, dear God. Each and every day of that new mercy that you give us, Lord, that we wake up and open our eyes, we have another opportunity, another chance to get it right. We ask that you bless as we end the program tonight. We thank you and we love you, Lord. With honor, praise, and glory to you, dear God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Good night, everyone. God bless you. We love you, and we're praying for you.